lovely listeners, this is Anne, and as you will probably be able to tell in this episode, we are experimenting with different methods of recording in order to get the highest quality we possibly can for you, and I think it'll be fairly obvious that in this particular recording, a few things may be a little bit hard to understand, and we did not use the best recording method we could have, but we feel that the content is good, so please bear with us for now, and we intend to have much higher quality in the future. Thanks.
Tell me what you thought of the movie, because, yes. Oh yeah, this is Tailcoats and Tiaras, also. Next.
What did you think? I like it when Hostel I Land. Say tailcoats and you say tiaras.
Okay, we can do it. Okay, this is
Tailcoats
and Tiaras. Okay, so we watched Austin Land, and what did you think?
Well, I think I should prefix question mark. this with, I don't read Jane Austen. I've never watched the movies. Like, I've tried. I get very bored. And I hate this era. So.
Oh, really? Surprisingly,
I loved it.
Well, you don't really have to like Jane Austen to like this movie.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yes.
Like, not really knowing anything about her, I expected that I wasn't going to be able to enjoy it.
But you know a lot about me, and her going to this thing is basically me going to the Dickens Fair.
Yeah, no, exactly. She reminds me of you so flipping much. And there's like, aw, it's Anne. And I was also like, aw, yeah. I want to go somewhere like this. But different era, obviously.
Yes. Wait, you don't like the Regency?
No, I don't. And I hate their dresses. God,
really?
Their stupid dresses. Honey, you're skinny. They look great on you.
But, okay, that part I can understand. But, like, just, like, the way they look in general?
Yeah, it's specifically the freaking way that they go in, quote unquote, underneath the bust, because they don't actually do that. Sometimes it's like where the frickin' nipple is, or like just awkwardly midway, and it's so awkward, and it just doesn't look good on people who have larger busts or big bellies.
Yeah. Well, they had their specific stays for that kind of thing back then, but still, I get it. Because it's not super easy to access period-specific stays, you know? It's not stays or corsets, I should say again, to clarify. But, yeah, corsets aren't exactly cheap, so it's not like, I mean, unless you're me and you're saving up all your money to try to get something specific for every era, which I still don't, you know, I have Victorian. But, you gotta get the right undergarments to get the right silhouette, and if you don't even like the period to begin with, it's not really worth it. So, I get it.
Yeah. That's very true. I didn't really thought about that context of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's true. I feel like even with the right
thing, that's why they were able to wear them back then.
I wouldn't be granting it, but
I disagree, but I also understand not wanting to go through all that just to wear one of those dresses if you're not even a huge fan of them anyway.
Yeah. Although, I do love the men's clothing in this time.
Okay, this is probably one of my favorite time periods for men's clothing.
Oh my god, it's
so gorgeous. If we ever
do
a Regency, I know, right?
I want all of the costumes, especially Henry's. Like, can I just be Henry? It's my
Mr.
life
Nobly,
goal.
Henry?
Right
just
there.
To be clear. Oh, I should probably say, also, if you're listening to this, you might want to watch the movie, to avoid spoilers, because we're probably going to talk about those, and then B, it's you know, with a lot of other movies we talk about, you can kind of understand, but this one you kind of need to watch it, I would say.
Yeah, you should definitely watch any movie that we're going to talk about before you actually listen to us, because we will 100% give you all the spoilers.
Yep.
Okay, that's not true, but we're very likely to spoil things.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Probably before, like, it'll be that thing where we say the spoiler and then afterwards say spoiler alert. So just save us the trouble of even having to give you a late spoiler alert and watch the movie. But yeah, so the movie was hilarious. Okay, the part where the friend walks into Jane's room and she's like, oh no, it's gotten worse. It's like my family walking into my room. So for me, it's not specifically Jane Austen, it's just Victorian stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
But, like, legit though, when you started Victorianizing your room, there was definitely a day where I walked in and I just went, what the fuck? And, like, I mean, it's gorgeous and I love you, but now I'm starting to get concerned.
Yep. So, well, I'm living with Matt now, so he even told me, like, Anne, we can't get all the things you want for this house because people are gonna think I married my grandma. And I'm like, okay, fine. Fine. I have the taste to deal with it. So now I'm trying to convince him that we actually do need more than one teapot, because teapots can be used to store things other than tea, like our receipts. So I'm just trying to find all the things that can be stored in teapots for excuses to get more pretty teapots.
Oh, you're adorable.
Thank you.
That's also really good to know, that you need reasons to have teapots.
Yes.
Too bad I already got your Christmas present.
Oh, you got me a teapot?
No, I didn't get you a teapot. But if I knew that, I probably would have gotten you a teapot, and then I'd be like, well, you have to tell Matt that you have to keep it because Sky got it for you.
Right? Right, exactly. I could store tea, like, in tea bags in teapots. How about that? That's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
Because I have so much tea anyway. Okay, next. And when the friend gives her the dress, then she's like, what historical era is this supposed to be from? I'm like, I feel attacked
yes,
right now.
Yes. That's the first thing that I wanted to talk about. And yeah, we should really get into this now, so I'm gonna start.
Yeah.
So, well, that's not completely the first thing I wanted to talk about. The first thing that I actually wanted to talk about was just, like, Jane's look at the beginning of the movie before we put her into historical clothing, where she just looks like a stereotypical book nerd, which is the main reason why she reminded me of you before we even got to her personality, is because she kind of dresses like the patterns on her blouses and the style of her clothing and how loose they are. It kind of hints at the Regency era and the Victorian era, and I just, my mind went, oh my god, Anne needs all of these clothes. Except you would totally not wear, like, half of her outfit. You'd just wear the pretty flowery half.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really wear jeans, so.
What?
I don't really wear jeans.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said you just wear the flowery half.
I almost said I don't really wear pants, but that implies I don't wear anything underneath, so I don't want to say that.
Yeah, you don't wear jeans.
I hope no one can hear me chewing right now. I'm eating soup.
I can't hear you chewing. I hope no one can hear my cat taking a bath. I almost said my bath shaking a cat. Anyway.
That sounds
anyway.
Like a horror movie. Okay, go ahead.
So, when she gets back after the frickin' Austen land, she is dressed a little less like a book nerd. I'm not saying that book nerds all dress the same. There's just a stereotype. Just to clarify. And stereotypes
I don't care.
Something that, as a costumer, are very helpful because they help get the idea across really easily. Because everyone knows, or everyone has an idea of what X looks like. Like, if you were to put a gay man in a really frilly outfit, people would go, oh yeah, that's a gay man, without thinking about it. Even though a straight man can also wear a frilly outfit.
Yes. I mean, all the straight men wear frilly outfits in the shows I like.
That is true. That is very true. I'm really surprised that they didn't play on the stereotype of, like, male actors being gay at all.
Well, wasn't Miss Charming's, or Elizabeth's guy, like, gay, we find out at the end?
I don't think so.
But remember, she was like, I think he's, and then she says, this is Jane talking, she's like, oh, you know, I think he might be, perfect for you, and then Miss Charming's like, oh good, I thought you were gonna say he was gay, which it's implied that she was going to, but she didn't want to.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't think about
like
it.
Like at the
that
ball,
way.
She's trying to kiss him, and he's like very much trying to avoid it.
He's just not interested in her.
Well, that's what I thought, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't think they were playing on him actually being gay. I think that was just supposed to be funny because she could have said that, and then she wouldn't be madly in love with him anymore, or like at least, you know, wouldn't continue to try for it. And so I feel like it was just supposed to be Jane being like, god damn it, why didn't I think about that? Anyway, she gets back and she's in like a stylish blouse and almost looks like an ordinary person, which is lame, but also she looks very cute. and I didn't organize my notes well this time, by the way. Oh,
I organized mine so well.
I don't think I even wrote down the note that I was going to say about that because I knew it so well. So going back, sorry if you have to, like, copy and paste things everywhere, Sky. What? Anne?
Huh?
I didn't get enough sleep.
I mean,
you tell?
Uh-huh.
So, when she goes off to Austinland, Jane's friend gives her a dress that she made for her, and Jane asks, which era is this supposed to be from? And I was very happy about that dress because, first of all, it was a complete disaster. And second of all, I can just imagine how fun it must have been to come up with a costume design for that dress. Because you're intentionally trying to, like, make it look like it's come from multiple different eras and you can't actually tell what era it's from. So, it's got a little bit of Regency from, obviously, the styling of the dress. I feel like that's the only thing that she understood about the era was that they have the awkward bust line. And
which, I mean, fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's what most people know. And then it's got medieval, mostly in the color, but also in the arms, that meshy silver material that almost looks like chainmail. And then it's kind of I felt like the flowers that they used, the specific flower choice, made it look like Victorian trying to be in the 70s.
Oh. Okay.
And so I loved the freaking disaster that it became, especially
Yes.
that, like, it even had a tiny bit of Shakespearean because it's the colors of the Harlequins in Shakespearean times.
Right.
Like, in his plays, those are
She
the colors they
tried.
used.
She tried so hard.
What was that?
Oh, the friend tried. It was sweet. She tried very hard.
Yeah, she tried, and it was adorable, and I'm so happy about that disaster.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if you wanted to talk about that dress at all.
Oh, just it looks like it, a kind of Halloween polyester kind of mess. Like it would probably just like melt if you burned it.
That is so true. Yeah, it's definitely made out of some cheap ass material.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of there's a YouTuber that I watch. She does a lot of historical stuff and talks about things like accuracy and different sewing, and I think I've used her as a source before. Bernadette Banner is her name, and she like did this thing where she found, I'll try to make this short because I know we don't have tons of time, but she found a knockoff of a dress she made, like being sold on some site, trying to something that like tried to remake this medieval dress that she made and then sell it for super cheap. So like just to met like basically see what it was actually like, she ordered it and it was like so bad. It was the worst fabric and everything, and it kind of reminds me of this dress that the friend made. Only the dress the friend made actually looks a lot better than what Bernadette Banner got.
That's both hilarious and depressing. Cool. Moving on then. So, being as I am not the Jane Austen nerd, this is going to be. Anne is going to be the more knowledgeable person in this episode. Also, it's a film, historical based film, costume wise, so most of the
But
things to talk about are history.
you researched the costumer and stuff. I'm sure you have stuff to say about that.
Yeah, no, I looked up the costumer. I mean, I don't like to talk a lot about the costume designer specifically, just like mention who they are.
And their vision.
But I like to talk more about their choices in the movie. Because their background is not necessarily the movie.
That's what I meant.
Hey, anyway, I haven't mentioned it yet, but the costume designer is Annie Hadding? Harding? I think it's Harding.
Sure.
I'm not sure. It's Harding. Harding.
That sounds right.
All right. Costume designer is Annie Harding. She has worked on many British films and TV series. I have never watched Shaun of the Dead, but apparently she is the costume designer for it. I don't even know what it's about. That's the only thing I saw in the tiny page about her that I actually recognized. So, for this movie, the director, Jerusha Hayes, wanted to create a quirky look for Austen Land in order to create a sense of heightened reality.
Oh, yes.
And considering that the book takes place in a modern storyline that then just takes on the Regency era style, they decided to use lots of colors to mix with modern to mix modern fabrics with period costume staples. This is all from things that the costume designer actually said. I'm paraphrasing. Okay.
Sorry, the reason I'm not talking is I'm really trying not to eat my soup so loudly that it's going to be horrible.
Yeah, good thing I can't hear you anyway.
My phone might. Let me just make sure it's still recording. Oh, thank goodness. Okay.
Okay. They wanted to create a parallel universe. So that was the task that the costume designer was given. And she particularly wanted to take the Regency style and modernize it in a sense so that it fit the setting of which they were in, which is modern times, but Regency era. Close.
Yeah.
Which I feel like she did a pretty good job in, because you can still see bits of modern while looking at the typical, like, what people think of when they think of Regency style clothing. Yeah. And the color choices that they used, we see a lot of pink and white and gray and browns, and those are colors that, first of all, it's just a beautiful color scheme to go with, but they're more neutral and fit minus the pink. Pink is kind of neutral. I have mixed feelings about pink and where it belongs in the color system.
I have no feelings other than it's a great color.
That's fair. I mean, I love pink. I just have mixed feelings about where it should go, because I feel like it kind of goes everywhere, except for obviously within white and black.
I mean, my point is, you're the artist, so clearly you know things about the color system, whereas I'm like, oh yeah, that's a nice color.
Yeah. It's definitely not grayscale, but other than that, I want it everywhere. But yeah, these colors are something that we sort of see in modern times, but I personally associate them with more of the Victorian era. And I feel like they make a lot of sense for the Regency era. Most people probably just associate those colors with quote-unquote vintage or old-timey things.
Sure. I mean, if you'd like, if I could interject about colors, just what I know from Regency era, a lot, like, actually white and cream and, like, really light sort of pastel colors were most popular at the time, because they had, like, just rediscovered, like, ancient Greece, you know, monuments, and so they, like, a lot of it was inspired by that. And so, you know, all of it, like, in ancient Greece, if you didn't know this, a lot of the, you know, columns and statues and stuff actually used to be in color, but they lost their color over the ages. And we found that out through, like, you know, microscopes later on, looking at things, science-y stuff that I don't understand. But obviously they didn't have that technology back then, so they just assumed that in ancient Greece everybody liked the white and everything, so really light colors were actually the most popular.
I did not know that about the statues in ancient Greece. That's really freaking cool.
I know, I learned that in a history of interior design class.
Huh. Okay, well, that definitely explains the colors. Most of them are on the lighter end.
Yes.
There are definitely some darker colors in there, but I was not a very big fan of the darker colors. I mean, like, they looked nice, well, but also something felt off.
And they were mostly
off.
Worn by, like, well, the like, browns, like, the really dark ones, Jane wore, and she was supposed to be a lower class anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted that to either be black or lighter. But that's just because I don't like super dark brown that's almost black.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Anyway, they put this modern spin on the Regency era, and we can see the modern twist in their jewelry and hair accessories and the sunglasses and frickin' earphones that...
Yes.
What the horse freaking guy wears. I'm gonna call him the horse guy because I don't like him.
Martin, but yes.
Martin, there you go. God, I loved and hated that at the same time. I was like, that's so funny. He's wearing headphones. The illusion's been broken. And I was like, the illusion's been broken, you asshole. Hide them in your pocket.
I know, like, even, like, me, if I were on, like, in Austin Land, I'd be so mad. I'd be like, no. Like, I paid, I mean, not to sound snobby, but, like, I paid to have this immersive, realistic experience. Why are you admitting to me that all this, anyway?
Okay, but also, like, they're not using candles for light, and they have flushable toilets, so
okay,
I feel like
that,
one guy having headphones is not the end of the world.
Well, and, you know, they're not looking, I had less of an issue with him walking around with headphones because they're not really paying attention to him anyway, but, like, the part where he's actually talking, I mean, obviously that was part of his script, but, you know, before we knew that, I was just like, wow, well, he's doing his job terribly.
Yep. Anyway, so their hair is on point, but then they have all these little modern things with them, which, I mean, they're beautiful, most of them. They have, like, little plastic roses in their hair, like hidden within the curls, like you did for your wedding. Go to Anne Petty Rose's Instagram page and look at photos of her wedding.
Anne Petty Rose?
Isn't that it? Petty Rose? Petite Rose.
It's Anne Petite Rose. It's Anne _ Petite Petite Rose. And yours is, shameless plug.
No, you're going to have to say the name of it, because I haven't even gone on it yet.
It's like at haunted _ lullabies, right?
Oh, you're asking about mine. Yeah.
No, not the one I made for the podcast. I was going to do that at the end.
Okay, mine is haunted _ lullabies. But I also rarely go on it, so...
I've been keeping track. I mean, I know I was like, hey, you want to be in charge of the podcast Instagram? And then I've been having so much fun with it myself. But...
If it's not my Instagram, I don't mind doing it. I just don't want to spend all of my time on social media and feel like I have more important things in my life than posting pictures of my mundane things that I do and being like, look how happy I am.
Oh, yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know how I manage not to just do that. That's why I ask Matt to go out and take pictures of me in Victorian clothing all the time so I can be like, can I have constant, like, stuff to put on my Instagram without feeling lame?
Yeah, exactly. No, I pretty much solely go on to like your pictures and that's about it. Okay, we're getting distracted and I have to go to work in an hour and I still have to put lunch in a box and put shoes on and shit and wash my car. Okay. Anyway, I'm totally not about to have anxiety. It's fine.
No, it's fine. Don't worry. I've got mine super organized, so I can just breeze through it if you need me to.
Cool.
To an extent, I'm not gonna...
Anyway. Jane's wardrobe, Harding tried to keep Jane's wardrobe as authentic and darb as possible, with neutral colors, and kept the pattern, trim, and detailing on her clothes very subdued. That's a quote. My source is Time Magazine, just to clear that out. But say anything that's not my words, it came from there. Alright, I did
that's
it.
That's why I'm gonna list all my sources at the beginning, and then just be like, so it's from one of all these that I listed at the beginning, you figure it out.
Yep. Alright, intelligent, why don't I do that?
Yeah.
Anyway, she kept her clothes neutral. And we see this throughout, even when she still steals the clothes from the blonde girl. What's her name? Lily or something? What's her name?
I know she, like, when she's talking to her, she's like, Emilio. So I just know her as Amelia. But I don't
know.
Miss whatever name was.
I think the designer refers to her as Lily at some point.
Maybe the actress.
Probably just because it's quicker than saying Amelia. But even when she steals Amelia's clothes, she still is pretty subtle in her patterns and the detailing on them. They don't stand out a lot, except for, like, the very first one. When she, like, goes downstairs. It's still really subtle, but it stands out because it's her first time wearing pretty fancy clothes. That are upper class, not the class that she's supposedly from in the movie.
Her first dress kind of reminds me of the one that Giselle makes out of the curtains in Enchanted.
She wanted for Jane to look as authentically beautiful as possible so that... Oh, sorry. I'm talking about the first dress that she stole. With the first dress that she stole, she wanted Jane to... Harding wanted Jane to look as beautiful as possible, so that all of the men would just fall in love with her. Like, apparently the heroines in Jane Austen's books do. I know nothing about that. But
that feels more like a, you know, 80s movie where, oh, she takes off her glasses and whatever.
Yeah, it did. I totally agree.
I mean,
the 2000s. You remember in the 2000s how all those movies came out and it was like girls take off their glasses or they pull down their hair and then suddenly they're like the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
But no, I can't say I remember that. I mean, it's been a while since I read Emma, but I don't think that happens in Pride and Prejudice. It's more of like making fun of, I mean, it's more of a satire when Jane Austen was writing it, but
But her dress was made of silk, a creamy silk. She says cream silk. I don't actually know what that's referring to. So you should probably cut out that whole thing.
Or not. Let's keep it authentic.
Her dress was made in silk and embroidered in gold with silver beadwork and matching accessories. Obviously. Because one has to have their matching accessories.
Naturally.
She wanted this outfit to be as different as possible from all of her other outfits so that it would stand out. And she also wanted it to look extremely elegant, which we see both of those things happening. Like I said, it's a pretty simple dress, but it still stands out a lot because is so separate from the design work that we see in her previous dresses.
Right. Well, and she looks good in it, too.
Oh my god, yeah, she looks gorgeous. Anyway, Miss Charming, who is both my favorite and least favorite character, mostly wears pink.
She's the...
The costume designer decided specifically that she was going to mostly wear pink and designed all of her costumes around the Miss Charming's obsession with the color pink, and they were all supposed to complement the color. So it was just supposed to be a showcase of the color pink, pretty much.
I think that
which makes me very happy.
Yes.
They show class by, well, like you said, by showing the shifts in colors, and also the shape of their clothing. The servant shapes were supposed to be simple shapes and soft colors without a lot of detail. And they'd wear cotton and muslin fabric. And the other characters were supposed to be, like, over the top, because, you know, they're filthy rich and fancy, and so they get a lot of embroidery and colorful things and accessories, and everything that they have is made out of silk or fabric. Yes, everything is made out of fabric. Good job, Sky. silk or velvet. And brocades. And then, I didn't actually write much about the men's clothing, because I don't ever really feel like there's a lot to write about the men's clothing, other than the colors. I liked the servants' pink outfits. I thought that those were beautiful. They also felt slightly wrong, but I liked them, so I just left it at that.
Yeah. I noted that, yeah, it was definitely more 18th century, but it might have just been because they were servants and, like, fancy, and it, I mean, I don't know if they actually still wore that in the Regency era for specific, like, titles or, you know, formality. I don't know. Like, you know how, like, judges, well, they don't do this anymore, but I think in England they still wear the, like, little periwig things.
Yeah.
Which are still, like, not... I mean, it's not fashionable anymore, but it's a formality, or, like, graduation is, outfits are, like, medieval style, you know, so, for certain.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that, so I'm glad that you brought that up.
That's a guess, I don't know.
I did, however, put a small blurb in my note about Henry's clothing. He kind of stood out to me because he wore a lot more blues than the rest of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, most of the clothing is in pinks, whites, grays, and browns. But we see Henry in blue a lot, and he keeps the same color scheme in the Regency era and modern clothing. His modern clothing when he, we only see him in, we don't see him in modern clothing a lot, but, you know, when he goes to Jane's house, his modern clothing is almost the modern version of what he was wearing at the airport, which I think is really cool, because it shows how he really just took himself and put his own personality into Regency era for that costume.
Right.
So you can see that he's different from the rest of the actors, where they're a little more told what they're wearing. I mean, they all have their own personality within their costumes, but his stands out specifically because it looks so much like himself in the modern times.
Well, and he, you know, and this actually felt jarring to me at first when he comes in, like, as himself, and he's, like, confessing his love to her. I was like, whoa, that actually, I'm not sure I totally buy that, because that's very, but I guess that just shows that his personality is very similar to, you know, he's a history professor, so.
Yeah, his character was very accurate for him.
And he was just adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, your turn.
And okay, I'm gonna, oh, it's not even 4:30 yet. Okay, so I've got a little over 30 minutes. Cool.
Yeah.
So, just gonna list my sources first, so that I don't have to remember where every, you know, whatever. Okay, so I got these from janeaustin.co.uk, fashion-era.com, Gentleman's Gazette, and then a video, Dressing Up a Regency Lady by Prioritire on YouTube, DonnaHatch.com, specifically the article, Regency Stays, Facts and Myths, elegance-of-fashion.blogspot.com, historicaldesignsclothing.com, and also a fashion history lecture that was actually in a class that my sister took at Delta that I kind of followed her in, and I could only go to the first class because she said I participated too much. She kind of told me it was embarrassing. Like, the story behind this, I'll make this quick. I took a fashion history class at the community college in town by the same professor, instead of just doing like the full thing, they do like, they teach the same class, but it's not always the same like time periods in the class. So there's, you know, I took the part that was like from, you know, beginning to about the 18th century and I think Regency a little bit. And then my sister was like Regency moving forward. And I was so excited because I was like, oh, I didn't get to study the Victorian era when I was taking this class. So, okay, is it okay if I come with you? I won't talk. I won't be embarrassing. But unfortunately, the professor asked a question to the whole class, like, does anyone know the origins of the wedding dress? And I tried so hard not to say anything, but nobody was answering. And finally, I was just like, okay, I know I kind of took this class before, but it was a different class. So technically, this is new to me. And it was Queen Victoria. And my sister, like, next to me is just humiliated. I felt kind of bad. I never went to those lectures again. But I got a lot of notes on Regency stuff. So.
Poor Kate.
I know. It was, and it's not like, I was, well, okay, to be fair, I was already at the school because I was rehearsing for Pippin, so I just went early to the class with her and then went to the rehearsal after that, but that was the first and only time I was allowed to join. She was fully in the right. I was just too excited. Okay, so, background on Regency terms, just to give you some context. So it's the Regency is the term for like in England. It's Empire in France, and it's basically the same time period though. And the meaning of Regency, why it's called that, is because the king at the time, he was, I think he had some sort of mental illness, which, you know, at the time they just thought he was crazy, and so he was sent to an asylum, and his son was put in his place as what's called the king's regent. So he ruled in his place, even though he wasn't the actual king. He did all the duties of the king as the king's regent, hence Regency. So, and that was just in England. France, the Empire period was with Napoleon and the French Revolution kind of stuff going on. So, to talk about women's clothes, the overall look, simple, slim, so no froofy petticoats like in the years before, high-waisted, inspired by ancient Greece, ancient Rome, the East, so like Egypt, India, lots of inspiration from that. And the silhouette actually evolved from the 18th century shift, or the chemise, which it's later called. So, you know, if you looked at pictures of shifts from the 18th century, I'm trying to pronounce it so it doesn't sound like I'm saying a different word than shift. So if you look at those, you can see they kind of resemble the Regency silhouette. So it's almost like, rather than having all that stuff that they had on top of the shift, the garment was now shaped like the shift. And they had a different sort of petticoat underneath, which was just, you know, simpler and mainly just to create a base for some of the gowns in case they were see-through or something. And the simpler silhouette was actually a response to the revolutions that went on in the 18th century, sort of to oppose the lavish lifestyles of before and to be more, quote, practical. But I put that in quotations because you can blame the slim Regency silhouette for taking away the practical 18th century hidden pockets that I was obsessing over during our first episode. Do you remember those? It doesn't matter. I do. And they replaced them with this little purse-like thing, which basically looked like the pocket, but you hold it around your wrist or whatever, and it's easier to steal, and your hands aren't as free, and they're called reticules. And Jane Austen herself referred to them as, quote, ridicule, as in ridiculous, because she's a badass and she knows her shit. Okay, calming down. Meanwhile, men got more pockets. Not calm down, actually, because I'm infuriated. You still there, or did you get scared and run away? Hello? Oh, okay. Underclothes. So, similar to the 18th century underclothes, but without the pockets and with much slimmer petticoats, like I said, and the stays or corsets were, like I was saying, more. They were comfortable, and they were not designed to give a woman a small waist, but to lift the bust line and provide a smooth base for the clothes that lay on top. Like, you know, we were talking about before, that's how the clothes laid more smoothly and more flat. So, and you can see that in when they're trying on the clothes. You can see Miss Charming's stays really well because they're elevating the bust and flattening the rest. And so some examples of Eastern influence that I noticed in the movie. So, I mean, lots of trading was done with countries in the East, and you can even from, remember that captain guy that Amelia's super into?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like another example of, like, there was a lot of trading being done with some of the countries in the East. So just so some of the influence from that, the trim and ribbon on lots of the gowns in the movie have that sort of exotic style pattern. So you have sort of the underbust sort of, not ribbon, but, you know, a seam cover, I guess, on Elizabeth, Miss Charming's lilac dress. And next to her, this is in the scene where they're, I don't remember what they're talking about, actually. One of the first scenes. And then you have Amelia in her orangish coral dress, which I really love, but you can see under the sleeves there's the sort of pattern.
Yeah.
And she has another orange dress, and she has a red shawl that reminds me a lot of the Indian saris, Indian traditional dress. This is at the part after Mr. Nobley brings Jane back from the rain, just for reference. Also, she has very many feathers in her bonnet, and I love that. And also her, Amelia has a lot of this in her gown. So in that, there's a dark blue dress that you don't see very much. It even could be a dark purple. I think it's just a navy blue. But she has a lot of silver on the sleeves, which is really pretty. And it kind of reminds me again of the Indian sari. And of course, especially, in fact, Jane's shawl, when she has her first kiss with Martin, you can see there's a lot of different colors on that shawl with the gold, and it's quite pretty.
His name is Captain East, by the way.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Also, that shawl, I didn't mention it yet because I was going to mention it when we talked about our favorite, and that's my favorite.
Oh. Which one? Jane's?
Yeah. Well, specifically the yellow dress with the shawl.
Yes.
Oh really my god, it's so gorgeous. Yeah, yes. Continue.
Oh, and then you also see, like, just especially, you can see a lot of that influence in Mrs. Wattleworth's purple outfit during the play when Miss Charming's, like, saying, a large arse, and she's like, no, largesse! You know, that part, which is hilarious, by the way. But you could even see it in her hat. She has a sort of almost turban-like hat, which was very popular, especially for older women. So just some other garments I noticed. So a pelisse, I think that's what it's how it's pronounced, P-E-L-I-S-S-E. It's like a coat worn over dresses, and it closed in the front. And I can't be sure if these were seen in the movie, since it was supposed to be taking place in the summer. But I think they're possibly was one being worn by Elizabeth or Miss Charming in the scene before Jane has to ride on the back of the carriage. So I can't tell if it's just actually a dress, but it looks like it could be that coat. If I rewatch the movie, I might be able to see. But since they changed a lot of, like, they changed their clothes a lot, I can't tell if it was just a coat worn over the lilac dress, a pelisse worn over the lilac dress, or if it was its own dress. But just reminded me of that. And very importantly, Spencers were very popular. So just basically cardigans, you know, short jackets that stopped at the waist. There were lots of those. So you can see in the scene before Jane goes into Martin's, like, barn thing, where they're all walking, you can see a pink velvet Spencer worn by Elizabeth and a brown Spencer worn by Jane with what looks like military style braiding for the buttons, which was very popular and fashionable during the Regency period. And then you can also see Amelia and Elizabeth seem to be wearing new clothes for the hunting scene that include either Spencers, or it might just be a riding habit, but again, from the pictures I took while watching it, it seems like it could be a Spencer. And just to note, Amelia's red and gold outfit seems to also have that military style inspiration during the hunting scene. Another popular garment was a redingote goat, sort of like the pelisse, but it doesn't fully close in front. So almost like, if you want to think, a robe, it often only closes at the bodice. So you can see it being worn by Elizabeth and Amelia, unless Amelia is just attached to her dress, that's also possible. But during the reading and needlepoint scene, you can see, especially on Miss Charming's, it's closed with like a gold thing in front. And it's like a peach-ish color, very pretty. And you can also see Jane wearing this when she's rehearsing for the play with Mr. Nobley and he's looking at her drawings.
So in the reading scene, Miss Charming has this ugly, ugly little hoop on her head. The ring that's wrapped in a ribbon. Please tell me that is not something that actually happened in that time.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but it looks like her hair is tied in the ribbon.
No. She has her hair really nice looking, and then there's just this little ring on her head. It's not her hair. It's like they took a metal or plastic ring, and they wrapped pink ribbon around it. So there's just this little circle sitting on the top of her head.
I don't know. I did notice there was one thing in her hair that was like a bird. Like, it looked like a bird swinging on a thing. And then there was another one that looked like she had like a actual, like, her hair tied in a ribbon. But I don't know specifically what you're referring to.
Well, it was ugly.
Speaking of her, she's also wearing a, Elizabeth is also wearing a, like, hot pink redingote over her dress in the ballroom scene. And actually, I don't usually have much to say about men's clothes, but I like men's clothes from the Regency. So tail coats were basically worn by everybody, and it evolved from the 18th century coats, and then were just made to be easier to ride in. And they were called tail coats because they were, like, originally were called swallowtail coats, where the name came from that. And you can get a good look of how it made writing so much easier, because it could split during the scene when Mr. Nobley's carrying or taking Jane back when it's raining, and you can see the tailcoat is just split over the horse, making it much easier to ride. And they're actually usually in dark colors, and especially black and blue, but like you were saying, they were trying to have a lot more colors in this movie, so I think Mr. Nobley's were probably more accurate for colors, but you can see a lot of the reds and vibrant colors in this movie. And the lapels on these coats, so this was the first time collars and lapels are separated, with the lapel folded back. And the point where the collars and lapels met was usually marked with a M or V-shaped notch, which I could really see on Colonel Andrews is his name, the guy that ends up with Miss Charming at the end. In his red tail coat, you can really see that M shape, and it's hard to describe without actually looking at it. So I can post this picture on the Instagram and sort of circle that part, because it's it's very exciting when you do research and you see it on screen afterwards. Waistcoats are basically, I mean, you would probably call them a vest today. So they look like vests. They're cut straight at the bottom and worn under the tailcoat. Everybody, you know, all the men wearing them. And they could be double-breasted or single-breasted in the daytime, but in the evening it was only single-breasted. And while I didn't pay close attention to everyone's at the ball, you can definitely see the single-breasted waistcoats on Mr. Nobley and Martin at the ball. So that was, yes, period correct. Breeches and pantaloons. So it's hard to tell which ones were worn at what time in this movie since lots of the men were wearing boots. But basically breeches and just below the knee. And they could be worn both day and night. And pantaloons were calf length. So they were longer and more casual. The men's shirts, usually white muslin. Evening shirt fronts were usually frilled or pleated with tall collars. And you can see Mr. Nobley's tall collar at the ball. It sticks out. And yeah, that's... Oh, cravats, very important. So that was very fashionable. Just basically the 19th century equivalent of a tie, kind of looks like a scarf. And it could be tied in lots of different ways, but you'll see it's around the men's necks, this white fabric, worn pretty much by everybody. And just to cover a few minor inaccuracies that I noticed, even though clearly I know they weren't trying to be 100%, but Mrs. Waddleworth's clothes in the beginning looked a little bit like later in the century than everyone else, so they could have still been late Regency, but compared to everybody else's, they seemed a little later. We already kind of talked about the pink suits. And then, interestingly, Martin's clothes looked a bit early for the time period, but since he was supposed to be a servant, you know, and they might have been just, you know, supposed to be hand-me-downs, since he wasn't as wealthy. And, yeah, I did want to say, though, that I'm not sure I agree with the choice to make it more modernized, because you would think that a movie that already takes place in the modern period, going to a, this Austinland theme park, you would think that the contrast should actually be, like, even more because of how anal Mrs. Waddlesworth is of not even having a cell phone out and stuff. I mean, clearly she's biased about who she doesn't like and stuff, but I thought it would make even more sense for it to be like strictly very accurate since they're the ones picking out the clothes for the characters. I don't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, I think it's more about like the logistics of being able to make that more accurate in real life, because in real life, buying the fabrics that they would have used and doing all of that embroidery and getting all of the just like ribbons and laces and all of that stuff that you have to add on to accessorize the actual dresses.
Yeah.
Is a lot of work and it's very expensive.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I get that. But it sounded like, just the way you were saying it, it sounded like they were intentionally sort of mixing it with modern.
But yeah, they were intentionally doing it, but they didn't say why they were doing it. And I feel like that's okay. Probably why.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I see for artistic sake doing a little differentiating. Like I hear in the series for, I haven't watched it, but... Outlander, they have some like 1940s influences in the 18th century clothes in that movie, just because she's from the 40s or something. So I can see it for that reason. But for a movie like this, in my opinion, I would think it would make more sense that there was a big contrast. But you're right with the costs and stuff. It could be that.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about like the logistics of if this existed in real life, which is probably what they're thinking about.
Yes.
Well. Putting together the film.
Okay, but then again, my argument would be Mrs. Waddlesworth is so stingy about this, and considering how much she clearly is charging for the platinum package, you'd think she'd be able to, I don't know. But maybe she doesn't actually care and she just doesn't like Jane.
Yeah, it could just be an act, and she just doesn't like Jane.
Yep, with the whole cell phone thing, which, like, whoa. Oh, and I wanted to say something about that scene before we go, because this would be my second time watching this movie. So, you know, the twist at the end, like where it turns out Martin was just scripted for Jane and what's his face? Henry or Mr. Nobly was actually the one falling for her. There are these cute moments where you can see, like, when she's playing the piano and she's like singing, like, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. You can see him smiling in the background after that, and it's really cute. And then you know the part where Amelia talks to her after, when she's in the carriage and she's like, oh god, that was the best time so far, which also me after the Dickens Fair, beside the point, where she's like, oh yeah, Mr. Nobly had me take the blame for the cell phone thing. You can actually, if you look back at that scene, you can see him whispering to her in the background, him whispering to Amelia, and then Amelia then taking the blame for the cell phone and everything. So it's cool watching it again and seeing all the stuff going on in the background.
Yeah, I rewatched it, as I always do, but this time, instead of just looking at the costumes, I was looking for those little hints.
Yeah. And I still think, like, the ending was a little abrupt with him, but I think it was pretty
so cute.
Like,
stupid, overall, romantic.
Big fan. I know. Such a rom-com. But yeah. So, I think we should probably sign off shortly, but do you want to, I guess we could share the Instagram, which is just Tailcoats and Tiaras on Instagram. And please follow us, because we have, what, 24 followers right now.
That's already a lot.
Oh, okay.
Favorite costume, go.
Oh, probably, I really liked Amelia's coral dress in the beginning, and her dark, like, navy blue dress with the silver.
Yeah, I like the coral one. I like the navy blue one, but I definitely wouldn't go towards one of my favorites. I expected you to just stop at I liked Amelia.
Oh, really? Yeah, I do love her. I love her outfits. Even the red one with the gold. I love her colors and everything.
Yeah. Well, I already said mine, but it's the yellow one that Jane wears with the freaking shawl, which I've been referring to as a pashmina because it definitely looks like one. But I like it specifically because of, like, the paint on the shawl, or not paint, mm-hmm. but, you know, the pattern on the shawl.
I know what you mean.
And
yeah.
The ribbon around her waist and how the three things just, like, perfectly fit and complement each other, and it makes me want to hug it.
I know, and it's weird that's even before she gets any of Amelia's clothes. Like, it's not even that bad. Like, the brown one's kind of ugly, the brown dress.
Yeah, no, it's a gorgeous dress. I don't understand why she had it at that point, but it was gorgeous.
I don't know. Yeah, it was very pretty. Yeah, good movie. Very much like it.
Okay, I gotta go to work. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you for listening. And, yeah, next time maybe... If we can record before Christmas, maybe we can do, like, a Christmas movie or something.
Yeah, we should definitely record before Christmas, and we've been choosing every other one, so this next time I get to choose, and I'm thinking maybe the Nutcracker.
The new one? The new Nutcracker?
I didn't know that there was a new one, but we'll figure that out more later.
The Four Realms one.
Okay. Toodaloo.
Oh, wait. Bye. Isn't it a specific pattern? I should know this, shouldn't I?
You should definitely know this.
Well, why don't you, since you obviously know?
I didn't look it up because I assumed that you knew it.
We're gonna cut all of that out because we look like idiots.
5-star this podcast, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. To stay up to date on new episodes, don't forget to subscribe. For more content, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Tailcoats and Tiaras. You can tune in every other Tuesday for new episodes. See you next time!